Today's shir is Masechta Babas with Daf Kuf Nun Aleph. We will begin in Daf Kuf Nun Amud Beis, four lines from the bottom. Our Gemara continues discussing what is and what isn't in the category of Nechasim. Says the Gemara, Shtara, documents, Ikri Nechasim, are considered Nechasim. And as the Rishonim point out, certainly Milva Peh is not considered Nechasim. Our Gemara is discussing, is a Milva Bishtar considered part of somebody's Nechasim assets? When he uses the word Nechasim, are they included? And the Gemara brings a Raya that Shtaris are included in the category of Nechasim. Dom Rabbi Yitzchak, Shtei Shtaris Hain, there are two types of Shtaris. Omar, if somebody said to Edim, Zoch B'Sadezeh, take ownership of this field, Leploini, on behalf of someone, on behalf of that individual, V'Kisulai Shtar, and then document that in a document. Is the Alocha, Chayz B'Shtar, the Alocha is he could retract on the Shtar, V'Ena Chayz B'Sada. He could, if they haven't yet executed his directive to write the shtar, he could back off, but he can't back off on the field belonging to the recipient. Why? Because the moment it becomes the recipient's, the halacha is that it becomes the recipient's, and the moment they were coined on behalf of the recipient's, he can't go back. Whereas the shtar, since it hasn't been executed yet, he can retract from that directive. Question is, why would he want to retract from that directive if it's ready, if the field isn't his anymore? So Rishonim explained, because even though he gave away the field, he certainly doesn't want everybody to know that he's giving away his field. And therefore, he may say, I gave you the field, but I don't want anybody to be aware that I gave the field away, and therefore it should not be put it into a document. Furthermore, interesting Shailand Rishonim. What would be the halacha if such a scenario happened where he said, take ownership of the field and then a shtar should be written and then he backs out? Can he or can he not? What will be the din? Is this strictly by shtar matana or even by shtar mechira? So some Rishonim say, strict by shtar matana, where you didn't pay for the field, and I gave you the field, so even though originally I said you should take ownership of the field, and a shtar should be written, I'm doing you a favor, I have a right to back off. Mash enken, however, by a sale, there halacha will be different, because you paid for it. So I have no right to demand that it should not be put into a document. Other Rishonim say just the opposite. By a shtar matana, I have no right to back off because I have nothing to lose. Writing you a gift of my field, that I gave you a field, doesn't reflect badly on me. But if I sold you a field and then it's documented in a shtar and it gets publicity, people will say, oh, there's something wrong. He's selling off his property. So Al-Gamar, according to those Rishonim, saying, strictly regarding a sale, do I have a right to back off? Not by a matana. Another Rishonim take the opinion as follows. By a matana, I certainly have a right to back off. I gave you a gift, so I'm in control, and I could say I don't want to put it into a shtar. By a sale, you paid for it. So if I now go say I don't want it documented, you have a right to say if you're not going to agree that it should be put into a shtar, I want to nullify the sale, which normally after a kinyan is made, you can't back out. Here you will be allowed to be back out. The Rishonim also debate why is a shtar considered nechasim. Some Rishonim say because a shtar represents receivables that I own, and receivables are considered that money. Other Rishonim explain because a shtar creates a shibud, and because it creates a shibud, that's why it's considered like property. Yet others say it's the piece of paper has some value. Interesting, and there's an interesting Machlokes Rishonim, which actually may be connected to the Machlokes Rishonim we just quoted. What would be the halacha if someone owes me money? So someone owes me money. Certainly, we know the halacha is that If he has to pay me back, if he has cash, pay me back in cash. If he has property, he has to pay me, and he doesn't have cash, he has to give me his property. If he has other metatlin, the halach is that if you don't have cash and you don't have property, I can take your metatlin. Well, bin halach, you don't have cash, you don't have property, you don't have metatlin, but you have shtarts, you have receivables. Are they considered like money that you, that I have a claim to if you owe me money, or I don't have a claim to shtarts? It really depends on how we view shtarts. Because certainly shtaros was saying it's considered nechassim. The question is to what degree. Now the Mar says the next category of a shtar. Amnasha tichtelu vas a shtar. If I wrote that take ownership of this property on behalf of the recipient with the condition that you write a shtar, and the shtar has not been written, so until the shtar is actually written, you don't take ownership, and therefore halach is choyze beim shtar beim besada. I have a right to back off on the entire transaction. Says the Gemara, Rav Chiya bar Avin Amar Rav Huna, Shlosh Shtar Sein. There are actually three types of cases by shtaros. Trei, two Ahani Damoran, that we just spoke about. Idach, what's the third situation? Is as follows. Let's say I want to sell a piece of property. And you need a lawyer, you need a cipher to write the document. I don't have the ability to write it, and I'm anxious to sell it, and I know you're going to buy it. So kadam meichel kasef the shtar. If I went and wrote a shtar that I sold you this property, kaisa shninu, as we learned, kaisa shtar lemeichel, we could write a shtar on behalf of the seller. For afapish ein lekeich imay, even though you the buyer are not here, the loch is kiyum shechzik zebekarka. Since as the moment you take and make a chazaka, take ownership of the property, nikna shtar, become makam shahu, you also become the owner of that shtar. V'zui shishanin, and this is actually what the Mishnah means, says Rav Chiya bar Avin, then the chosim sh'ein lem mechrayis, nikna mechosim sh'esh lem mechrayis, you could take ownership of the shtar, b'kesef, b'shtar b'chazaka, when you did the kinyan on the property, Kasub Shtar b'chazaka, you also become the owner of the shtar. Why is this acceptable? Explain to Rishonim that this is an acceptable situation because this shtar that I, the seller, am writing is to my detriment. And I'm prepared to write it. It's fine. I asked the Rishonim, actually, it's Gemara's a question, not here, but by me writing the shtar, my lekuchas, the people who buy property from me now, from that moment, have a mortgage on that property. And if the sale hasn't been consummated yet, why should they have a shibut? So I saw two explanations. One explanation is, Eidav b'chasam of Zoychenloi. The moment Eidim sign on this document, even though the sale that's written to this document hasn't yet happened, as far as the halach is concerned, the sale has happened, and the mortgage that gets created because of it, kicks in immediately. Another pshat that I saw is that what's the whole point of shibudim, how these mortgages get created? We've discussed many times because there's a call. Once a shtar is written, you buy property from me, you should know that there's a mortgage on your property that you're buying from me. As soon as the shtar is written, even though the deal hasn't been consummated, that is enough of a situation to have that call. And that's why the shtar is considered a valid shtar. Continues the Gemara in identifying what is and what isn't in the category of nechassim. Says the Gemara, behema, animals, ikri nechassi, are in the category of nechassim. The Tanan, as the Mishnah says, hamagdish nechassof, if somebody is magdish his, all of his property, v'hoisben behema ruil agab mizbeach, and amongst his assets was an animal that could be brought into mizbeach. So Zecharim, if he has male animals amongst his property, Yukavoilus. So those animals should be brought in the Mizbeach as a carbon oiler. Let's say he has in the Keva, a female, Yukavul Yimachul Tzarch Zivcha Shlomim. As the Rishonim explained, the animal itself cannot be brought, the animal can't be brought as an oiler, because in the Keva, a female can't be used as an oiler. To bring it as a Shlomim on my behalf, would cause an issue. Because we know that from a carbon shlomim, a decent amount belongs to the owner. But I was magdish all of my nechassim. I was magdish all of my nechassim for the Beis Hamikdash. So if I'm going to get part of the animal, my hegdish declaration will not have been fulfilled. How do we accomplish it? We should sell it for somebody who needs a carbon shlamim. Why should we sell it for somebody who needs a carbon shlamim? Because the halacha is that if there's an animal that is fit to be brought in the Mizbeach, it should be brought in the Mizbeach, but it can't be for my behalf because I'm not allowed to end up with any part of the animal. Why, asked the Rishonim, do we need to have a special limud, a new limud, that how we know behemoths are considered nechasai? We learned, we quoted the Mishnah in the previous year, nechasim she'en lemachrayis, nikna nechasim she'esh lemachrayis. So we see that all metatlin are considered nechasim. Animals are certainly metatlin. So why does the Gemara have to bring this limud? We already had a limud in the previous year. So I saw two explanations in the Rishonim. One explanation in the Rishonim is that the Gemara is trying and is successful in its attempt to find a different source for every type of asset. So yes, we could have relied on the Mishnah that the Gemara quoted yesterday, but the Gemara was successful in finding a specific Mishnah regarding animals. Another explanation I saw is there are two types of metatlin. They're metatlin like a table that can't move on their own. And then they're metatlin like a behemoth, which even though they consider halachically like metatlin, they do have the ability to move on their own. We would think maybe that only metatlin that can't move on their own are considered nechassim. But metatlin that can move on their own are not considered nechassim. Kamash malan, that even metatlin that can move on their own, like an animal, are considered nechassim. Oifus continues the Gemara, ikwe nechassim, are considered nechassim. The Tanan, as the Mishnah says, ha-magdish nechassof, if somebody's magdish is nechassim, v'hoi ben dvarim ha-ruin l'mizbeach, and amongst his assets were items that can be brought on the mizbeach, for example, yayin ha-shmein v'oifus, wine, oil, and birds, are all considered nechassai. Continues the Mishnah, tefillin, ikru nechassim. Tefillin are considered nechassim, because we would think that since tefillin are needed for dvar mitzvah, they should not be considered nechassim, k'mashmon that they are. The Tanan, ha-magdish nechassim, if somebody's magdish is nechassim, malon loy tefillin, the tefillin are also hegdish. Now there's a machloikus rishonim, which has halachic ramifications. What is the definition of malon loy tefillin? Some rishonim explain that malon loy tefillin means that the tefillin become hegdish. Another pshat is malon loy tefillin is not that the person's tefillin actually become hegdish, but we assess the value of his tefillin, and he's going to have to donate that amount to hegdish. What is the nafkamina? There's a very important nafkamina, because the halacha is the hegdish shechilloy al shavu prutay, even though you're not supposed to do this, but al pi din, if you take something which is hegdish and you redeem it even on a pruta, it's mechulo, it's considered redeemed. So if the tefillin actually become hegdish, so now my tefillin became hegdish, what am I supposed to do? So I just have to redeem it on a pruta, halachically they come back mine. But if we say that pshat malin is that we assess the value, but the tefillin themselves never become hegdish, then the halacha would be that I have to give that value, the value of tefillin, expensive, to hegdish. Iboilhu. Now ask the Gemara the following question. Sefer Torah Mai. What would be the halacha if somebody's magdish is Sefer Torah? Kivan, deloy mizdabin, since a Sefer Torah may not be sold, the asul is bune, as the Gemara says in Masechet Megillah, a Sefer Torah is not allowed to be sold only if you need it for Talmud Torah or to marry a wife. Lav nechsihu, it's not considered in the category of the nechassim. Oidoma, or perhaps, kivin, the mizdabin l'lumba Torah l'isisha, under certain circumstances, it may be sold for l'lumba Torah l'isisha. Nechsihu, they're considered nechse, and the Gemara remains with a teiku. There's a lot to say in this Gemara. Certainly, the Rishonim say, Tosfos says this, that even though the Gemara is asking, what is the din, if somebody says nechassai, is it in the category of Sefer Torah or not? Is the Sefer Torah included in that category or not? That's only as far as the terminology of Nechassai. But certainly Seder Rishonim, a Sefer Torah is considered like Metatlin. And all the various types of Kinyonim that work on Metatlin will be affected by Sefer Torah. Furthermore, The Rishonim point out, if somebody was healed, if somebody was magdish his nechasim, certainly his Sefer Torah is included in what he was magdish. Furthermore, the Rishonim say, if he didn't just use the word nechasai, but he used a stronger language, he used the words kol nechasai, then a Sefer Torah is included. Ar Sameach says a very bechidish. Ar Sameach says as follows, if a healthy person said nechasai, so there, since as we're learning now, a Sefer Torah is not allowed to be sold, so there the halacha is, says Ar Sameach, perhaps he didn't mean to give away his Sefer Torah. However, let's say we're dealing with a situation of a shchimera, which is really the sugis that we're learning. And a shchimera, we learned, is giving away his assets because he thinks he's going to pass away. There, says the Ar Sameach, the halacha would be different. And says the Ar Sameach, a shchimera that gives away in the chasov, certainly the Sefer Torah is included. Because he's thinking to himself, why do I need the Sefer Torah? I'm about to pass away. So the Gemara explains, why is the Sefer Torah, so the Gemara is thinking the Sefer Torah is different. Why is the Sefer Torah different? Either because it's the chshivas, how important the Sefer Torah is, or as we explained, the Sefer Torah may not be sold. And as the Rashbam goes on to explain, the difference between a Sefer Torah, why would I think a Sefer Torah is different than tefillin? We just said that if you send the chosai, your tefillin are included. Why is a Sefer Torah different? Says the Rashbam, because a tefillin may be considered a malbush, it may be considered a garment, whereas a Sefer Torah is not considered a garment, and therefore Sefer Torah is somewhat different. And actually, this point that the Rashbam makes, that tefillin, since they may be considered a malbush, are different than everything else, is relevant to two shailas that are discussed. One shaila is discussed by the Rishonim. The Gemara speaks about a Sefer Torah. If Sefer Torah is in the category of Nechasai, what about other Sforim? So if we say the difference between tefillin and a Sefer Torah is because tefillin are a malbush, and Sefer Torah is not a malbush, but other Sforim are just like Sefer Torah, they're also not a malbush. And therefore then the halacha would be that other Sforim are in the same category as the Sefer Torah. But if we say what makes the Sefer Torah unique is the fact that a Sefer Torah may not be sold, only as the Gemara said, Lilma Torah Lisa Isha. That halacha, as the Gemara discusses in Masecht Megillah, is only by Sefer Torah, not by other Sforim. And then other Sforim would have the same din as Tefillin. Another place where this, another issue where this is relevant, is a question that was asked by the Spinker Rebbe to the Masham, where somebody accepted upon himself to buy clothing on behalf of people who need clothing. The question is, if buying tefillin on behalf of such an individual is considered that he bought him clothing. If, as the Rashbam, and the Masham quotes this Rashbam, if, as the Rashbam says, what makes tefillin different from all other sforim is the fact that tefillin is a malbush, and he has a raya from Hilchos Shabbos, because in Shabbos, if you wear tefillin, it's not considered that you carried it on Shabbos, because tefillin is a malbush. Therefore, if you buy tefillin on behalf of somebody who needs tefillin, you have fulfilled your obligation. There's a very interesting Magen Avraham. Our Gemara just said that the only time you're allowed to sell a Sefer Torah is Lilma Torah or Lisa Isha. However, there are Rishonim that say that this din, that a Sefer Torah is only allowed to be sold under those very specific circumstances, is by a Sefer Torah Shel Tzibur, a Sefer Torah of the Tzibur. A Sefer Torah Shel Yachid, a Sefer Torah that belongs to an individual, may be sold under other circumstances. Ask the Magen Avraham. Our Gemara is obviously speaking about the Sefer Torah that belongs to a Yochid. Because the Gemara's question is, if I say Nechasai, my property, is my Sefer Torah included? So it's obviously referring to Sefer Torah Shel Yochid. And yet the Gemara says that such a Sefer Torah may only be sold Lilma Torah Lisa Isha. What will the Rishonim say to this Gemara? So the Magen Avraham answers that our Gemara is referring to a Sefer Torah that belongs to a Yochid, but the Yochid gave it to the Tzibur to lay from. And he explains as follows. Why do these Rishonim say that the Sefer Torah Shel Tzibur is different than the Sefer Torah Shel Yochid? Because the Sefer Torah Shel Tzibur, the Tzibur, the tzibur needs it to learn from. So it's not a question of ownership. It's a question of the tzibur needing it. So here we're talking about, even though it's a sefer Torah shel yachid, but the tzibur needs it to read from, and therefore the Gemara says it only may be sold lisa isha lumatayra. Chasam Sofer says two tzurotzim. One tzurot, he says, is as follows. He says, our Gemara, even if we'll say like the Rishonim, that a sefer Torah shel yachid may be sold, certainly somebody who sells such a sefer Torah ain't a roya siman bracha. It's not something proper to do. Therefore, our Gemara is very understandable why it should not be sold. A third pshat of Chasam Sofer says, and Aruch HaShulchan says this pshat is as follows. Even according to the Rishonim, that differentiate between a sefer Torah shel yachid and a sefer Torah shel tzibur, and it's only a sefer Torah shel tzibur that may be sold lilma Torah or lisa isha, it's only such a sefer Torah, says the, it's only in such a situation, they say, where I have two sefer Torah. Because the Torah says the cost of life is sefer Torah is life. So everybody's obligated to have a sefer Torah. So if a person has two sefer Torah privately, so even if he sells one, he'll be left with the other. So say to Rishonim, since it's a sefer Torah shel yachid, you're allowed to sell it. But let's say you only have one sefer Torah. And if you sell the sefer Torah, you'll be left with no sefer Torah. There, everybody will agree it may be only sold for the purpose of Lilma Torah Lisa Isha. And therefore they say, our Gemara is referring to a Yachid that has only one sefer Torah, that everybody, all Rishonim, will agree may only be sold either Lilma Torah or Lisa Isha. Simon Zotra Imid Amra Metarte Akvasa Rav Tumi Rav Dimi Rav Yosef. Says the Gemara, Imid Rav Zutra Batovya, the mother of Zutra Batovya, Kasfina Lo Nichsa, she wrote over her assets the Rav Zutra Batovya to her son, Rav Zutra Batovya, the boy Lintzuve L'Rav Zvid, because she wanted to marry Rav Zvid. But unlike the sugya that we discussed in the previous year, the sugya of Mavreches, where the Mara referred to a situation where there was a woman who was getting remarried, and she didn't want a second husband to get his hands on her assets, and that's why she wrote them over to someone else. Here, she said explicitly, this is the way the Rajbam learns the Gemara. She said explicitly, the reason I'm writing over these assets to my son is because I want to get married. And she got married to Razvid, the Garsha. And then they got divorced. Asla Kamed Rabibi Rabaya. They came with a question to Rabbi Rabaya. Omar, and he said, Rav Zutta, said him Shimon Tsubei. My mother made a stipulation that this assets only giving away, are going only to be given away if she gets married. That's how he understood her statement. She said, I'm giving you these assets on the condition that I get married. But she got married. She got divorced afterwards. That has no bearing. Her condition is fulfilled, and these assets are not mine. Amalei Rav Huna Bered Rav Shua. So Rav Huna Bered Rav Shua said to Rav Zutra, Mishum da osim muloi, because you come muloi, amrisa mila malisa. Number Pshatim, what does it mean, Mishum da'asim Mamuloi? Some say, came from the town called Mamuloi, and the word Mamuloi means chopped off. So it was a play on words. You come from a town that's name is chopped off, and your words don't make sense. Another Pshat is that he came from a family that was not well. It says, you come from a family that's not well, and therefore, you're saying things that really don't halachically make sense. But the pshat that most mefarshim learn is we know that it says in Navi that a curse was given to Beis Eli, to the family of Eli, the kol mabris beisecha yemusu anoshim, that the people of the family of Eli will die young. It says you come from that family that dies young, that's chopped off, and therefore your words are not coherent. So again, of course, the Mefarshim ask, if I disagree with you about something you say in learning, do I offend you? So Mefarshim explained, based on the last pshat, that even though, as we just said, the family of Eli was cursed, that they would die young, the Gemara, I think it's Gemara Masechta Rosh Hashanah, says that how could they have Arichas Yomim, is if they do chesed and learn Torah. So he was saying to him, you have to be so concerned to learn Torah properly. Because that's the only way that you could come to have Arichas Yamim. So how are you saying things that don't make sense? Because he said, even according to the opinion that says, Mavrachas Kani, that if somebody, if a wife, the case that we discussed in the previous year, gives away all of her assets, but she didn't say to the recipient, I'm giving it to you because I want to hide it from my husband, that the halacha is that the recipient keeps it under all circumstances, hanimili, that's only in the situation, the legal yadat, that she didn't specifically say, that's why I'm giving you all of these assets. Aval hocha, in Al Gemara, Gal Yadata, she made it very clear, the Meshumet Subihu, that the only reason she's giving away these assets is because she wants to get married and she doesn't want her husband to have them. When Tziba ve'igirsha, and they got married but they got divorced, and that's why he has to return the assets. Another pshat in the Rishonim, this Gemara, just to mention it briefly, is that the question is the machlokes of mavreches is only when somebody gives away part, some of the assets. But in a situation where all of the assets were given away, everybody will agree that it's obvious that they were only given away because she's just trying to keep them away from her husband. And therefore, in a situation where they get divorced, she gets those assets back. Says the Gemara, Imid Rami Bachama, the mother of Rami Bachama, brought in the evening, Kesvinala Nechsel Rami Bachama. She wrote over all her assets to Rami Bachama. But Tzafra, in the morning, Kesavtinala Rav Uk Bachama. She changed her mind and wrote a new will to Rav Uk Bachama. As Rami Bachama came Rav Sheshes, so Rami Bachama went to Rav Sheshes, Ukvim Ben Nechsel, and said that those assets, that her properties belong to you. Also Rav Uk Bachama, the other brother, he went to different Rav, he went to Kamed Rav Nachman, and he said, Ukmi ben Nachse, you are the owner of the assets. So we have a dispute between Rav Sheshes and Rav Nachman. Also Rav Sheshes will Kamed Rav Nachman. So Rav Sheshes now comes to Rav Nachman and asks him, Omale, my Tama Ukmi Ma'al Rav Ukmi Bachama, why did you say that Rav Ukmi Bachama is not the owner of these assets? Imishun the Hadraba is because she changed her mind. And even though she originally gave it to Rami Bachama, she gave it now afterwards to Rav Uk Bachama. For Shechiva, she died. And we know that the halach is, Divrei Shechimara, Kiksurim Kimsurim Dami. And if the Shechimara doesn't recover, what she says happens. And she originally said it should go to Rami Bachama. Amale, so Rav Nachman responded, Hacha Am Shmuel, Shmuel taught us, Kol She'il Amet Chayzer. In any situation where a gift is given, where the rule is, that if such a gift were given, and the person gets well, he could change his mind, which is the din of a shchimera. Such individual doesn't have only the right to renege on his gift if Baruch Hashem he recovers, but even if he doesn't recover, he changes his mind, it's accepted. Says the So this is an explicit statement of Shmuel. What would Rav Sheshes say to this? Says Rav Sheshes, Eim Adam Shmuel, perhaps where did Shmuel say that if a person who's a Shechimera gave a gift and then he changed his mind, it's acceptable? That's only if he changed his mind and said, you know what, I gave it as a gift to whomever, I don't want to give it away. I want to give it la'atzmai. La'achar mi amar, but maybe Shmuel will agree that if the Shechimera gave the gift to one individual, and he changes his mind, but not changes his mind that he wants to keep it himself. He changes his mind that he wants to give it to a different individual. Mi Amar. Maybe there Shmuel says you can't change your mind. So the question is, why would it make a difference, asked the Rishonim, if he changed his mind that it should come back to himself, versus if he changed his mind that instead of giving it to this recipient, it should go to another recipient. So he saw two pshatim in the Rishonim. One pshat in the Rishonim is that if he changed his mind that it should go to another person instead of the first person, why should it go more to the second person than to the first person? So then we say maybe he keeps it by the first person. Yourself, you love more than anybody else. And that's why the Gemara is considering that only you could change your mind that you should keep it, not that another person should get it. Another pshat, I think, is the Yad Ramah that says this pshat, very nice pshat. He explains as follows. As we've been learning from when we began the sugya of Shchemira. What is the thinking behind discussion of Shchemira? The thinking is always that a Shchemira assumes that he's about to pass away. So since he's about to pass away, he's giving away everything else. So if this person gave it to one recipient because he thinks he's dying, and then Baruch Hashem, you know what, he thinks, you know what, I'll be okay. That's why when he gives it back to himself, he says, you know what, he changed his mind, he's not dying. But if he's giving it to another individual, so he obviously still thinks that he's dying. Otherwise, why didn't he take it back for himself? The halacha will be the first person that got it keeps it. Says the Gemara, Amalei. So he says, no. Farish of Shmuel. Shmuel explicitly taught us, Bein la'atzmai, bein la'acher. If a Shchemira gives a gift to somebody, and he changes his mind, whether he changes his mind that he should keep it, or he changes his mind that someone else should get it, the second person gets it, not the first. Says the Gemara, Imud Rav Amram Chassida, the mother of Amram Chassida, Havalei melugma d'shtaroi. She had a pouch full of documents, of receivables. Kikashachva, as she was very ill, Amma, she said, Lehevel Amr Buri. These documents should be given to Amr, my son. Also, Achul Kamed Rav Nachman. So his brothers came to Rav Nachman, Amalei, and they asked him, for Lai Mashach, why should Rav Amram get it? He never did a kinyan on these shtaros. So we showed him debate if Mashicha is an effective means of kinyan for shtaros. Amalei, so he said, Divrei Shchemira k'ksuvim k'msurim dami, and he doesn't have to make a kinyan. So Mefarshim asked, what's the shakl of Atari in this Gemara? Don't we know by this point that Divrei Shchemira k'ksuvim k'msurim dami, that the Gemara has to tell us? So Mefarshim explained that the brothers of Rav Amram assumed that shtaros that aren't really money or really don't have any independent inherent value should be different than all other assets. And we're asked by all assets, the halacha as we've been learning is, divrei shchemira k'ksuvim k'msurim dami, assets, shtaros, since they're so meaningless as far as value is concerned, and as far as inherent value, should have a different rule, and the rule of divrei shchemira k'ksuvim k'msurim dami maybe shouldn't apply to them, that's why they taught him that they do. Says the Gemara, Achsei Rav Tuvi bar Rav Masna, the sister of Tuvi bar Rav Masna, she wrote over all of her assets to Rav Tuvi bar Rav Shchemira b'Tzafra in the morning. Lepanya Osir Rav Tuvi bar Rav Masna in the evening, another brother, Bachalon, came crying. Omala, and he said to her, Hashta Amamar, now everybody will say, Hashta Amri, people will say, Mar, my brother, Rav Tuvi, Tzumim Rabbanan is a Talmud Chacham, and that's why you gave over all your assets to him. Umar and I laughed Tzumim Rabbanan. I'm not a Talmud Chacham. Kesfina Nila, she understood his argument, and she changed the mind and gave it to him. Asla Kamed Rav Nachman, now the two brothers come to the entire Rav Nachman. Amay Hacham Shmuel, this is what Shmuel said, as we just learned a couple of moments ago. Kol She'ilamet Chayzer, any person, meaning a Shchemira, that the halacha is that if he recovers, he has a right to retract. Kosh Ilam Chayzer, Chayzer Mitanasi also has a right to retract and give it away from one person to another person. Rebbe Chanan, the Kabbat Shurim, asked two interesting questions in this Gemara. Isn't this a classical case of Ani HaMahafa B'Charara, where we have a situation that Rav Tuvi Bar Rav Masna got these assets, and now Rav Achtuvi is taking it away from him. So why isn't this not considered Ani Mapach B'Charor? So one test Mefarshim say is that actually Rav Achtuvi was trying to get these assets first. When is there a question of Ani Mapach B'Charor? Well, you're first trying to get something, and I try to get it away from you. But here, they suggest maybe Rav Achtuvi was trying to get it first. Another pshat, that here, it wasn't, what's pshat Ani Mapach B'Charor? Ani Mapach B'Charor means that if you're negotiating on a piece of land, I have no right to come to negotiate on it. Go negotiate for your own land. But here, I'm not doing it just because I'm trying to steal the deal away from you. I'm doing it because I'm protecting my name. The people will say that you're Talmud Chacham and I'm not. If that's my intent, there's no problem on imahapa b'charara. Another pshat, which is the most sensible pshat, Rabbi Chanan says, is as follows. When is there a situation on imahapa b'charara? If you're negotiating on a deal, so I have no right to come in and try to get that piece of property. Get yourself another piece of property. But let's say there isn't another piece of property. There isn't such a deal that I could get. Then there's no problem on imahapa b'charara. Here, there isn't another sister that you take from this sister and I'll take from another sister. So there's no problem with onimapa b'charara. But then Rabbi Chanan asks another question. Isn't this similar to a situation where, let's say, you and I, chas v'sholem, are in a situation of danger, where I'm not allowed to put you in danger to save myself? So here, I'm putting Rav Achduvi, was putting Rav Tuvi into harm's way, that he should lose his opportunity to get these assets just to get them himself. Is that halakhically permissible? So Mechanan says two truths. The simplest teretz, and this would answer the previous question also, it wasn't the Rav Tuvi was intending to get it all by himself. He said to his sister, don't just give it to Rav Tuvi, give me a share too. This answers both questions. Like this, I'll also have something, and I'm not looking to hurt you, I'm just looking to share. Another pshat that they say is, when is there a halacha that I'm not allowed to save myself by harming you or putting you in harm's way, is if the danger is already there. That means if somebody's coming to attack us and one of us is going to get attacked, so if I set it up that you're going to get attacked instead of me, the halacha is that's asur. But if it's before the situation even occurred, that's mutter. Here the gift wasn't effective yet because the gift of a shchimera is only effective after she passes away. We don't have such an issue. Says the Gemara, Achsei Rav Dimi by Yosef, the sister of Rav Dimi by Yosef, Havle Psikta de Paradisa. She had an orchard. Says the Gemara, interesting Gemara. Kol Amos Tavacholsha, every time she got sick, have a Machnan Lele. She would do a Matana Shchimera to her brother. Vikikaima, and then when she Baruch Hashem would get better, have a Hadriba. She would change her mind and say, as we learned so many times, a Shchimera, when he recovers, could retract. Zimna Chodacholsha. One time again she got sick, Sholchalei. So she sent to her brother, Tokani. Okay, I'm giving it to you, I'm a Matana Shchimera. Sholcha, so he responded, Loi Bi'ina. I refuse, I'm tired. Every week this happens. Sholchalei, Tokani Kalech the boss. Whatever you want, I'll agree to, just come. Ozob, so he came, and he did two things. Shaira V'Konimine. Number one, he didn't take all of her assets. Because as we've been learning from when we began the sugya of Matana Shchimera, when is something considered a situation of Matana Shchimera? Only if she gives, if the Shchimera gives everything away. He didn't take everything. He let her have something. Furthermore, what makes something be a Matana Shchimera if you don't do a kinyan? Divrei Shchimera, just based on the statement. Here he did a real kinyan. What was he trying to accomplish? That this should not be in the category of Matana Shchimera. And since it shouldn't be in the category of Matana Shchemera, even if she'll Baruch Hashem recover, she can't go back. And Taka, Kikaima, she recovered. Hadriba, she wanted to retract. Asla Kamed Rav Nachman. So they came, so she took him to Dintara by Rav Nachman. Sholachle, so Rav Nachman told him, Ta, I want you to appear for Dintara. Lay Asla. So he said, I won't come. So Rav Chanan asks, we're talking about a great person. Gemara calls him Rav Dimi bar Yosef. He's called to Dintaira and refuses to come. So Rav Chanan says a wonderful teretz. Rav Chanan says, when is somebody considered a Masarif to come to Dintaira? When there's a dispute over the facts. You say, you lent me money. I say, I never borrowed money from you. So if you call me to Dintaira, I have to come to establish the facts. Here, there was no disputing the facts. The fact, he and his sister had the exact same version of what happened. So he says, I have nothing to comfort in Torah. There's no dispute over what happened. So Rav Nachman told him, Sholachle, he sent him the following message. Eloi Osis, if you refuse to come, Mechinaloch, I will hit you, Bisalua with a stick, Deloi Mabedoma, that doesn't cause blood to come out. Which means I'll put you into Chayrim. It's a punishment that doesn't physically hurt. Amle Lasadi, So he asked the Edom, Hey Chavamaisa, exactly what occurred. Amalei, Amra Hachi, that the sister said, Vai, the Kamisa Hachitisa, terrible situation that I'm going to pass away. And therefore I'm giving my brother my fields. And my brother then did the kinyan as the Gemara described. Amlehu. So Rav Nachman, and now we learn a new category. Im can have mitzava machmas misa, mitzava machmas misa chayzer. The Gemara now teaches us a very big chiddush. Till now we've been learning the halacha of a shchimera. And a shchimera has very specific rules. You have to, like we learned before, you have to give away all your assets to be considered matana shchimera. There's no kinyan involved. And if he recovers, he could retract. Now the Gemara teaches us that there's a whole new category. Mitzava machmas misa. If somebody's mitzava machmas misa, and how do we know that somebody's mitzava machmas misa? So the most obvious way is the case that the Gemara discusses. Where the person explicitly says, what I'm giving away is because I'm going to die. There, it's even stronger than the halach of matana shchimera. And the halach will be if he gives away all of his assets, that even if he doesn't give away all of his assets, but he baruch Hashem recovers, he can retract. And therefore this sister, even though she didn't give away everything, so it's not matana shchimera, but since it's mitzava machmas misa, if she recovers, she can retract, and the brother can't say anything. Itma. Continues the Gemara. Matana shchimera mimitzas. He didn't give everything away. Amru rabbanan kamei de rova. Mishmei de mazut berei de Rav Nachman. Ramah shei Rav Nachman. Harei kematanis bari. In a certain respect, it's treated like the matani of a healthy person. And in another respect, harei kematanis shchimera, it's treated like matanis shchimera. And the Gemara explains. Harei kematanus bari, in some respect, it's treated like a matanus bari, that the halach is, shem amara nechayzer. The halach is that if somebody makes a kinyan, he can't back off. But on the other hand, harei kematanus bari, that the halach, harei kematanus bari, shem amara nechayzer. And on the other hand, harei kematanus shchimera, it's treated like a matanus shchimera, that just like a shchimera, this individual too, even since he is a shchimera, even though he's not giving everything away, the halacha is that he doesn't require a kinyan. Amlu Rava, when Rava heard this, he commented, "Lav amina lechu, have I not told you, loy titli buki surika b'Rav Nachman? Don't hang on Rav Nachman empty barrels. Don't attribute to him things that he clearly could not have said." Hacham Rav Nachman, rather this is what Rav Nachman said, Harei kumetanus bari, if the shchimera is not giving everything that he owns away, it's considered like a metanus bari, or by a kinyan. And in order for it to be effective, a kinyan is required, a verbal statement alone will not be enough. Eisei Rav Rav Nachman, ask Rav Nachman, it says in the Braisa, Shai kol kol shuhu. If the Shchimera didn't give everything away, Matanasa kayamis. My love, isn't it referring to a situation like Kodamine? So we see that even without a Kinyan, it's effective if the person who's giving it away is a Shchimera. So it's more like, the Mishnah is referring to the Kodamine. If he's not giving everything away, it can only be effective if there's a Kinyan here. Ask the Gemara, if that's how we're explaining the Mishnah, let's continue learning the Mishnah. Let's continue learning the Mishnah. If he didn't leave anything over, the halach is, if he Baruch Shem recovers, the gift is invalid. Ask the Gemara, if our Mishnah is referring to a situation where there was a Kinyan, am I a matanasa kayamis? Why isn't it valid? It's not a shchimera situation. There's a kinyan here. Amalei, hacham shmul. So he answered, this is Shmuel said. Shchimera, so kos of kol nechos of lacherim. Shmuel taught us a halacha, that if a person's a shchimera, and he gave everything away, api, shukana miyadai, and there was no reason for a kinyan, because a shchimera doesn't need to make a kinyan, the halacha is, amad chayzer, if he gets better, he to retract, because yidua, we are certain, And the halacha is that somebody who's mitzava machmas misa, the din is, if he gets better, he could always retract. Now we're learning that a mitzava machmas misa doesn't have to use the word that I'm dying. Even though it just has to be obvious that he's giving it away because he considers himself in such a situation, that the halacha is, if he did or didn't make a kinyan, he could go back, he could retract if he Baruch Hashem recovers.